Welcome back to Insight on CAP Radio. I'm Beth Ruyak. In Iowa, it's being reported that the Democratic Party has officially begun re-canvassing some caucus results. That app used for reporting results on February 3rd created chaos, as I'm sure you know. Nevada had paid to use the same app, so the question became, who won Iowa, and then will Nevada use the same app? Well, Democratic Party leaders by the next morning said no. So what exactly is the plan? John Sadler is joining us by phone. He's political reporter for the Las Vegas Sun, and he's been covering the lead up to this Saturday's caucus. Hi, John. Glad to have you on the program.
Hi, Beth. Good to be here.
So technically, early caucusing has already begun. What's happening in Nevada right now?
So right now, they're starting on Saturday, there were, and ending today, voters were able to go to these sites to cast ballots in the early vote process that would be then tabulated and added to their precinct-level data on caucus day. Some voters are experiencing long wait times there, but it kind of depends on the site that you're entering. Some are saying 5 minutes, some are saying 3 hours.
So I've been reading some descriptions about this that voters show up, voter registration is checked. If they're not registered, they have to do that. Then they get a sort of Scantron-like paper ballot, and you choose three of five preferences. Then that goes to the next step and the next step and the next step. Is that how it's going to go Saturday night, too?
Well, in a way. So voters will be able to, in the caucus, align in a group with their first choice, and if that first choice meets their viability threshold, which varies by precinct, but a good rule of thumb is around 15% of the votes, then they're good. Their vote goes for that candidate. But if they do not meet the viability threshold, they will have to choose their second candidate, which for people who early vote, that will be the same. So say you voted for Senator Elizabeth Warren for your first choice. If Warren does not meet the viability threshold at your precinct on caucus day, your vote will go for the second choice marked on your ballot.
So this 4 days of early voting, what part of the procedure is that? Is that only certain designated caucus precincts?
No, every precinct, every voter is able to vote in the early vote process. The data will be kept secret until caucus day. Campaigns will know who voted, but not how they voted. And then after first alignment on caucus day, the numbers that the candidate got on early vote will be added onto it.
What are the hours on Saturday?
Ooh, on Saturday? That means, so 10 a.m. is when registration will begin. You can get in line. And the caucus itself is set to start around noon. And run for just a few hours. I think they're trying to keep it to just a couple. But there's not a set end date as of now. Or end time, I'm sorry.
I've referenced Saturday night. What is reasonable for results? Will it more likely be a nighttime ending?
I think last in 2016, the results came in early evening, around 5:30 or 6, if I'm not mistaken. So I think that's a good time to be looking out for it.
Okay. So there was still concern over the weekend about long lines and some confusion about voting rules. Are there any other changes since 2016? And just confirm again that the app is officially ditched, correct?
The app is officially ditched. They came out and said that they would not use an app developed by Shadow Inc., which is the tech firm at the center of the issues in Iowa. And then they came out and said that they would not use an app at all. What they have now is are iPads provided by the party to leads at these caucus sites with a preloaded calculator tool that they can use to add up the votes that they get on caucus day with the votes that come in from the early voting period.
You did write last week that staffers for a number of the campaigns have had concerns. Where does that stand, and are we likely to have some contested results?
I'm not sure about the contested results. Some of the campaigns have expressed concern with the fact that the information coming out was slow, and they've expressed concerns about how exactly the early vote tabulation will be added into the caucus day results. But I've spoken with Democratic spokespeople for the Democratic Party here, and they've said that they've been as transparent as they can be. Campaigns are still training volunteers to understand the new processes that have rolled out since Iowa. So we'll kind of see how it goes. I don't want to make any predictions on exactly uncontested results just yet.
If you don't mind, John, I'd actually like you to explain that one more time, how you think the early voting results will get rolled into results from Saturday.
Sure. So the early vote, when you go to an early vote site, like we said earlier, you have to fill in three, but up to five candidate choices on your ballot. Those ballots will be taken to processing hubs that the Democratic Party is monitoring and scanned in, like a Scantron that you would take a test on in college. And then those votes will be delivered to precinct chairs at the caucus day sites. So once the alignments are known at the caucus day sites, the calculator tool that they've developed on the iPads will be used to add that up with the reported data from the early vote sites, and that will be the final total from that site.
So somebody who voted in early voting over the past 4 days cannot then show up and caucus on Saturday. Is that correct?
That is correct. They, when you check in at the early voting sites, they check you in through a unique ID number that the Secretary of State's office provides. And then you get a voter PIN, and those are safeguards against people who would maybe try to vote twice. So if you've been checked in early voting, you'll be flagged if you try to, then go caucus the next weekend.
I'm talking with John Sadler. He is a political reporter for the Las Vegas Sun. The Nevada caucuses are this Saturday, February 22nd. We have been talking in this hour about Mike Bloomberg and his qualifying for the debate in Las Vegas tomorrow night. That's big news today. Do I understand right that he's not on the ballot in Nevada?
He is not on the ballot in Nevada. He did miss the filing deadline as he's, not targeting any of the early states.
So tell me about the news that he'll be part of this debate.
So I think it will be interesting. Anecdotally, I've heard of a few voters that wanted to write in Bloomberg on their early voting ballot, which is not possible. You have to fill in the bubbles by the candidate. But he doesn't really have a large grassroots movement here, like, say, earlier candidates like Andrew Yang had. His support here isn't very large from what I've seen. So I think that his participation in the debate will be aimed more towards a national audience for people who will actually have a chance to vote for him when they go to the polls.
Ken Rudin, the political junkie, was talking about the history of Nevada caucusing and some of the contentious times, particularly 2016, most recently. Is there carryover or a hangover from that, or is it turn the page and here we are with a fresh start in 2020?
So I think the contention that you're speaking about is criticisms from the Bernie Sanders camp that they felt like there were certain parts of the process that favored Hillary Clinton.
Right.
And I've spoken with members of Bernie's campaign, and they've said publicly that they think that the Democratic Party is trying their best to make the process as fair and as impartial as they can. They've said that they have confidence in it. So I'm getting a lot of a sense that it's kind of a, turn the page here type thing. Let's focus on trying to drum up support for our candidate rather than rehash 2016.
And what about more on this background with the Culinary Workers Union and in Nevada, how it plays, that there isn't an endorsement, that there's been a battle around the fact that there isn't an endorsement, and the size of the union in terms of the number of voters it represents?
Right. So Nevada will be the first early state with the size union population that it does have. The Culinary Union represents, I think, 60,000 people here, and a lot of them are minority voters who work on the Strip. And leadership has come out, or came out even before they decided not to endorse, with some pamphlets that they handed out to members and statements criticizing Medicare for All, single-payer, government-run health care, like what's proposed by Senator Sanders and to an extent Senator Warren. So it will be interesting to see how that affects precinct sites that union members are expected to turn out in. I've, you know, again, anecdotally seen at events with those candidates sponsored by the union, both cheers and boos for single-payer health care. So it remains to be seen, I think, whether or not that there's a disconnect between union leadership and maybe union workers on the ground as far as their opinion on that.
So I'm reading about high voter turnout in early voting in Nevada, John. Do you think that's reflective of just this early voter window, or has registration been high? Are you expecting high voter turnout overall?
So voter turnout was down in 2016 from 2008. We had 84,000 voters in the Democratic caucus in 2016, down from 118,000 Democratic voters in 2008. But I'm interested in seeing how these play together, because the last that I've seen was almost 26,000 voters have come out and early voted. It's easier to do in a way. You don't have to lock yourself into multiple hours of caucusing right at a specific time. So I think it will definitely have, it would definitely be a boon to voter turnout, just because there are people who may have been not able to caucus, not able to give that amount of time, whether it's for work or family reasons. Now they've got this 4-day window in which they can participate.
How do you vote? Do you go to caucus? Do you take your reporter hat off and go cast your ballot, or did you take advantage of this early voting?
I do not caucus. I don't think it's appropriate for, you know, me as a reporter to publicly argue in favor of a candidate. So I stick to paper ballots.
Okay. All right. I guess the final question is always about the future of caucusing, and that debate must come up every year. Have you heard the discussion this year? Should Nevada be caucusing in the future?
So, right, that discussion blew up, especially after Iowa. I think there was an interview with Harry Reid in Vice, in which he said that Iowa's kind of blown their position being the first nominating contest, and he thinks that Nevada would be a good candidate for that. I think it might be a little too early to say if Nevada may have to step away from the caucus process. I think we'll need to see exactly how it plays out Saturday. But I think after what happened in Iowa, that the delay in results, the early declarations of victory, I think it will be, I would not be surprised if the Iowa caucuses are changed in a significant way by the next cycle.
All right. Thank you for your time. Good luck this weekend. Thanks for the conversation, John.
Thanks for having me.
That's John Sadler. He's a political reporter for the Las Vegas Sun. You can find links to some of his recent stories at capradio.org/insight. After a short break, we're going to meet a lifelong civil rights activist who helped lead the infamous 1969 Stonewall Uprising. You're listening to Insight on Cap Radio.